Howdy, and welcome again to the Josh in Real Life podcast. We're up to episode 2. Who would have thought we'd make it this far?
Not me.
Today is Friday the 10th of September 2010, and the weather is disappointing. Here's an introductory jingle to make us all feel better. This episode, I'm joined again by the unremitting Tom Bell. Tom, how have you been?
Ill. I feel a bit better now, though.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Coming up in this week's podcast. First off, Tom and I will give you the lowdown on some of the big stories stirring up movie land this week. We'll be discussing this week's Josh in Real Life blog entry, the Oscar-winning American Beauty. We'll also find out what our special guest Tom Bell has been doing and watching since last week, besides playing Plants vs. Zombies on his new iPhone. And we'll be giving you a rundown of this week's cinematic releases, including the John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill comedy Cyrus, and the new Stephen Frears feel-good comedy Tamara Drew. However, before any of that jollification occurs, I'd like to introduce a new necessary evil to the podcast, our apologies and amendments section.
We're sorry.
Tom, last week I was guilty of some embarrassing blunders, from which I think you should distance yourself.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong.
No, it wasn't you, it was me.
Okay, I take back my apology. Josh is sorry.
For example, last episode I implied that J.J. Abrams directed Cloverfield. He did not. He just produced it. It was Matt Reeves who directed it.
Well, that's dumb.
I know. That's why I'm apologising now.
Well, I'm just being the listeners.
That's
voice
fair.
Of the people, Tom Bell.
The everyman.
Yeah.
I also suggested that Sam Worthington starred in a Scottish Macbeth. That's just ridiculous. It was obviously an Australian Macbeth.
Obviously.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
I hope that recantation will suffice. Now, for the news. Have you seen the trailer for I'm Still Here, the new Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck film that's coming out?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I'm really confused by this whole thing. Like, I have to be honest here. It was only about a month ago that I learnt about Joaquin Phoenix's year-long crazy adventures of quitting acting and becoming a hip-hop star. And, yeah, now this film's coming out. And, like, I mean, I watched the trailer and stuff, and I read a load of buzz about it, and is it real?
I don't know. That's what we're going to find out on the 9th of October when it's released in cinemas. If it is real, then I think it's one of the greatest pieces of acting ever.
So, let's get this straight. So, about a year ago, Joaquin Phoenix, I think about a year ago.
I think it's longer than that. It's like a year and a half now.
Grew
a beard, got hair.
Goes on David Letterman to promote Two Lovers. Turns up with, like, a ridiculous beard and ridiculous hair and shades, looking a lot like Tom Moores.
Let's not promote him.
and gives an awful interview. David Letterman's asking him questions, standard stuff, and, like, I hate Letterman.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there. I think he's really annoying and, like, pretentious and up his own face. But he's trying to, you know, get some sort of interview going, and Joaquin is just not responding until it starts to emerge that he doesn't want to act anymore, he doesn't really know why, and that he's going to be a hip-hop star. And then from there on, he starts doing these underground hip-hop performances, which are really bad.
Yeah, it just looks like he's drunk the entire time. But it may have all been for this Casey Affleck mock/documentary. I think he should win Best Actor.
What, you mean the twice nominated? always the bride's Oscar, never the Oscar.
You've been doing your research.
I know. Well, we've got a bit more professional now.
We have. We can also let you know that the Portobello Film Festival has launched. It will end on the 19th of September. It's very close to where we're doing this podcast now, in fact. Portobello Road.
I've got some more stuff about Joaquin Phoenix.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah.
Go.
This film sounds crazy. There's, like, someone defecating on another man. Like, one of the things I read said it's like Joaquin gets into an argument with a guy and the guy ends up defecating on Joaquin while he's asleep.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be mad.
It's funny that the title is I'm Still Here rather than I'm Not There, which was a film about Bob Dylan.
Was he in that?
I don't know, but Joaquin Phoenix's hair, similar to Dylan's. During his prime.
Mm.
Actually, Dylan's prime lasted 50 years. It wasn't just one era.
I've been to a nice pub on Portobello Road.
What did you think of it?
I liked it. I kept singing Portobello Road, Portobello Road.
Have you had singing training?
A little bit, but because of that's in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. But everyone I was with, no one knew the song, so I just seemed like a crazy person.
Like Joaquin Phoenix.
Like Joaquin Phoenix, and I'm still not somewhere.
There are other film festivals also ongoing. Venice Film Festival. Peter Bradshaw has been tweeting a lot about the Venice Film Festival.
You mean the Guardian film critic, Peter Bradshaw?
I mean the central Guardian film critic, Peter Bradshaw.
You mean the central Guardian film critic, Peter Bradshaw, who reviewed your blog?
What?
I believe he said, good.
That did happen. I wonder what he'll think of this.
Why don't we go to Venice? Can the podcast afford that? Like, do we get to fly places?
Not yet. I'll ask iTunes.
Okay.
Where you can currently subscribe to this podcast.
Steve Jobs, can we please have some money to go to Venice?
I know. All he's done recently is launch iTunes 10. He can afford it.
iTunes 10?
Download.
I hear there's a ping thing.
I don't know what that means.
It's some sort of program called, I don't know. Let's cut this bit. Because I don't really know what I'm talking about.
When the listeners hear this podcast, the Raindance Film Festival will have started. Since we record this a week in advance to allow for editing, I will have gone to that launch. I'm promised from the press release drinks and canapes.
What kind of canapes?
I have no idea what canapes even mean. I presume it's food.
They're those little things that, like, fancy people carry around on silver trays, and they're like caviar and smoked salmon. Little tiny little bits of food. You have to eat about 10 to feel like you've eaten.
I'll be eating those at 12:30 tomorrow.
You get to go to the Raindance Film Festival?
Launch. I don't know if I'll go to any of the actual films.
Festival.
Yeah.
Who's paying for that? Why don't I get to go?
Because you don't review films for iforfilm.com.
No, I don't. Nice little plug there.
No, thank you. Now for an appraisal of the past week's posts on the Josh in Real Life blog. Blog, 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 blog. Tom, you'll be pleased to know that our first podcast was well received. We've been compared to the Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode podcast. Who do you think's who?
I think you're Simon Mayo and I'm Mark Kermode.
That's what I think as well.
Because I once saved Werner Herzog.
Really? How?
Well, he got shot with an air rifle.
No, you're just ripping off one of Mark Kermode's stories. That's not your story.
But do you know that Werner Herzog, tying back into an earlier thread, saved Joaquin Phoenix from a wrecked car crash?
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Please elaborate.
That's all I've got.
Okay.
It sounded exciting enough.
Oh, we'll be returning to Werner Herzog later on in this podcast because he's got a new film coming out, but we don't want to spoil.
Oh, okay.
We want to give the listeners a reason to stay listening.
Who compared us to that?
Tom Moores.
Oh, the aforementioned Tom Moores that I just slagged off earlier.
It's the second time he's been promoted. I don't like how this is going. Have you seen American Beauty?
Of course I've seen American Beauty.
Everyone's seen American Beauty.
Even me.
Even you.
Even Tom haven't seen it, Bell.
What did you think?
I love American Beauty. It's one of my favourite films. Written by one of my favourite writers.
Alan Ball.
That's right, yeah. I thought your blog lacked a severe mention of Alan Ball. You talked about Mendes, but you didn't talk about Alan Ball.
Well, since writing American Beauty, all Alan Ball has done is television. And I can't talk about television.
But amazing television.
Yeah, that's fair. 6 Feet Under. True Blood.
Yeah. Two of the best shows of the last 15 years.
Really? True Blood? We're going to give it that credit?
Yeah. You haven't watched it.
I watched half of episode one.
Well, maybe watch the second half and then we'll talk.
Fine. on our television podcast.
Yeah. You can download that. Tom. Tom in Small Screen Life. From MySpace. It comes out tomorrow.
What have you been watching?
This week? Well, I watched Harry Brown.
Yeah.
As I believe there was a mention in said previous blog.
It wasn't just a mention, there was an entire quote. It was a paragraph long. A large paragraph as well.
I wrote that paragraph.
You did. It was very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was sat there watching it. I thought I'd send you a text about the movie and it just turned out to be a parody of your blog.
Are you a fan of Michael Caine?
I don't know. I was talking to someone the other day who's saying they hate Michael Caine. And I think that's a bit unfair. I don't think he's worthy of hatred. I do like him. I don't think he's, like, one of the greatest film actors ever. I have never been, you know, inspired to read his book about screen acting, although I hear it's very interesting. But, you know, I enjoyed A Muppet's Christmas Carol. That was one of my favourite movies as a kid. I like Get Carter, you know. I like, I liked Harry Brown. Harry Brown was good.
Have you watched anything else?
What, with Michael Caine this week?
No, separate Michael Caine films. From Michael Caine, I should say.
I went to see Scott Pilgrim last night.
We spoke about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
You were looking forward to it a lot. Did it meet your expectations?
It didn't. I'm still kind of in two minds about it. Like, I don't really know how I feel. I think I can't, because obviously it's an adaptation from a set of books. It's never going to be as good as the books on the book's terms. Do you know what I mean? Because it's an adaptation, it's a different medium. I mean, like, in the books, the time scale is a lot longer than the movie. Like, the books occur over, I think I'm right in saying, about a year, whereas the movie makes it feel like it's only a couple of weeks. There's a lot of, like, as, you know, is Edgar Wright's style shown us in Spaced and Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. He likes snappy cuts. Which I always saw as sort of like a pastiche or a parody of the way they shoot heroin in Requiem for a Dream. But now I'm starting to think maybe that's just his style.
I thought it was for comic effect.
Yeah, well, it does have the comic effect. And there is a really nice bit where he flips his own convention on its head, where Scott is getting ready and it does like a really quick, sharp montage of him pulling on his coat and putting his hat on and blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts to his shoes and he just ties his laces like at normal speed.
That's
waits
good.
Till they're pulled, and then you have like the noise and the cut, and it was really good. I mean, the action was really funny. Like the fights were really good. I don't know. It's another thing where even though it's a comic book and the characters are drawn, you still build up how they sound and how they're like in your head. And I thought Michael Cera, perfect casting. But in the end, I just don't think he's as upbeat as Scott is in my head.
How many stars out of six?
Oh, 4.5.
Okay, it would have been 4 otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I had.
Yeah.
That I'm really annoyed about, is that Edgar Wright stole my bit about Pac-Man.
What do you mean?
Well, like, I have this story about how Pac-Man was originally going to be called Puck-Man, and, yeah, Edgar Wright knows more about this story because he explains why Puck-Man was going to be called Puck-Man. It's to do with a Japanese word which means flappy mouth, but they changed it from Puckman to Pac-Man, because they thought that it would be too easy to scratch out a bit of the P on the machines to turn Puckman into something rude.
Something rude, an F word, which we're not allowed to say because we've got a G rating on iTunes.
Oh, okay. And, I mean, I think I stole that story from Wikipedia, but it occurs in the Scott Pilgrim movie, and I was like, you stole my bit that I stole from Wikipedia.
Would you have done the bit if he hadn't stolen it on here, on this podcast?
If there had been a relevant point to it, yeah, it would have come up.
You just did.
I know, there was.
Coming up next, a briefing as to what you can expect to see if you choose to go to the cinema this week. But why would you? You can't smoke inside anymore. First up, I think we should talk about Cyrus, directed by Jay and Mark Duplass, not to be confused with the Australian film of the same name, which gives insight into the mind of a serial killer. Like, we need that. We've watched Dexter.
I love Dexter.
Dexter's great.
That's another TV show, though. We shouldn't talk about that.
That's right. In Cyrus, John C. Reilly tries to date Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jonah Hill, not happy about it.
Yeah, because he's a kid, and he's fat. And he's like, hey, stay away from my mama, you fat old man who looks a bit like me.
Don't you confuse John C. Reilly with another actor?
You know, there's a funny story I have about John C. Reilly.
Go.
I often confuse him with another actor.
What's the actor's name?
Mark Ruffalo.
Why do you confuse him with Mark Ruffalo?
Well, it's really important. They just sort of look alike. And I mean, I know that they're different people, but I still find it hard to amend which one's which. Like, was John C. Reilly in Zodiac? Was Mark Ruffalo in Magnolia? Who knows? Who knows?
I really like Mark Ruffalo, especially Just Like Heaven.
Yeah, I really like him too. I thought he was awesome in Zodiac that I just mentioned.
I've seen Mark Ruffalo's genitals.
How?
In The Cut with Meg Ryan.
I haven't seen that.
Few people have. It's a Jane Campion film.
Has he been around for a long time then, Ruffalo?
He has been around for a long time. My dad is not a fan of Mark Ruffalo. He's one of those actors that is in hundreds of films that my dad's seen and my dad never remembers who he is. And
right,
like,
yeah.
Where have I seen him before? Like when we went to the cinema to see Shutter Island, Mark Ruffalo crops up.
Yeah, he does. In a big way.
Mm. He gave me a nudge when Mark Ruffalo first appeared on screen then. What's your favourite aspect of Jonah Hill's career so far? Is it get him to the Greek?
Jonah Hill.
Is it funny people?
Jonah Hill.
Is it knocked up?
Jonah Hill, you know? I don't really understand Jonah Hill.
I hate Jonah Hill. I wish he didn't have a career.
I don't know that I feel that strongly about him. To me, he's like a small, fat clone, well, fatter clone of...
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, only without the beard. Like, I think they look a lot alike.
And less funny.
Yeah, less funny. I think he's a bit annoying, really.
Do you think there's anything we can do to limit his future film releases?
I don't know, but he looks quite funny in Cyrus.
If only Dexter was a real person and we had some sort of number we could call and be like, Dexter, you need to do your thing with Jonah Hill.
Yeah, but Dexter only kills, like, villains, you know what I mean? He kills murderers and people that get away with crimes.
Jonah Hill is a villain.
We need to come up with some sort of filmic guy who murders actors that are bad.
It'd be good if his serial killer nickname was The Critic.
Or Flickster.
Why Flickster?
Because it's kind of like Dexter and Flick is another word for a movie.
I think The Critic is better.
You would.
Also out this week is the Stephen Frears film Tamara Drew, starring Gemma Arterton. The lovely Gemma Arterton.
Isn't it Arterton?
Arterton? Yeah. Really? Okay. Starring the lovely Gemma Arterton and the 32-year-old Dominic Cooper.
Or maybe it is Arterton.
Based on the graphic novel by Posy Simmons.
Well, it's based, in fact... on the serialised comic strip of the same name.
Where was it first serialised?
In The Guardian. Its first issue came out in the Saturday Guardian when they went from when the broadsheets were big to when the broadsheets were small. And it occurred weekly. And then this is the collection of it.
Do you know anything else about Tamara Drew?
I know that it was based on Far From the Madding Crowd.
It was given 4 stars by the Daily Telegraph and Glamour. I think maybe the first time that those two publications have agreed on anything. The plot of Tamara Drew is... Tamara Drew is a young newspaper writer who returns to her...
A newspaper woman, you might say.
Well, why would I specify woman? She's a writer. They have equal rights now.
Because people say, I'm a newspaper man.
She's a newspaper woman.
Yeah.
She returns to her childhood home... which is being prepped for sale. And then Dominic Cooper arrives and plays guitar. Looks sexy. Like he did in The History Boys. Stephen Frears has also directed The Queen.
Seen it.
Dangerous Liaisons with John Malkovich and Glenn Close.
Oh, seen it.
Yeah. Failsafe.
Haven't seen it.
No one's seen Failsafe. It's a good Cold War TV drama. It was filmed in real time. Has George Clooney in it. Don Cheadle. Lots of stars. It's in black and white.
Filmed in real time.
It was filmed in real time. It was a live TV event.
God, that sounds cool.
Yeah, people should check out Failsafe.
All right.
And he also made High Fidelity.
Ooh.
We've watched High Fidelity before together, haven't we?
Yeah, I love High Fidelity. It's a great movie.
Do you remember when we watched it?
Yes.
What happened?
We hung out. We ordered pizza.
I love John Cusack.
It's a great film. I love John Cusack too.
Was it you who told me that John Cusack has a clause in his contract that means he must smoke in every single film he's in?
Yeah, every character he plays has to be a smoker, including recent film that he made with Samuel L. Jackson called 1310.
The film, the horror based on the Stephen King book.
Yeah, that's right. And the only difference there was his character had a cigarette behind his ear for the whole way through the movie. That was, like, his last cigarette that he was going to smoke if he knew he was going to die.
Good old John Cusack.
Yeah.
Another release plaguing picture houses across the UK is Resident Evil Afterlife.
A nice pun with plaguing there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Because there's a zombie plague in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Directed by the ongoing annoyance that is Paul W.S. Anderson, not to be confused with Paul Thomas Anderson, who brought us greats such as There Will Be Blood.
Seen it.
Magnolia.
Seen it.
Boogie Nights.
Haven't seen it.
A Mattress Man
haven't
commercial.
Haven't seen it.
And then the more or less acceptable Punch Drunk Love.
Haven't seen it.
Even though Adam Sandler was in it.
I know, I love this guy. I want to see all of his movies, but I've never been in a house that owned Boogie Nights. And I've never got round to watching Punch Drunk.
I think you'd enjoy Boogie Nights.
I'm sure I would. I love him.
Afterlife stars, of course, the often naked Mila Jovovich. Do you think that I look a bit like Mila Jovovich?
I do.
Have you had the pleasure of watching any of the Resident Evil films?
Ugh, yeah. I've seen the first one, and I've seen bits of the others. They're all terrible.
They are. Why do they keep on making them?
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't have a massive bone to pick with the guy and with the film series, because, like, I'm not massively into zombie games. But I have friends who are, and, like, I know Resident Evil is, you know, purported to be one of the greatest game series of all time. And if you like survival horror games, then that's where you got to go.
From what I learn, the fourth in the franchise, Resident Evil Afterlife, features some of what's in the game as part of its plot, but
a lot of the time they don't, though, and, like, I think they even changed what the sort of virus is and how it works and stuff, like, just completely. There's no real relation to the games.
If I had a choice of going to see a zombie film,
yeah,
or watching a zombie film in general, it wouldn't be any of the Resident Evil films.
What would you choose?
Something better.
Like what?
Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, I'd probably go with that.
Even Dawn of the Dead.
Which one? The remake?
The remake. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
I quite like the remake. I enjoyed it.
It was quite good.
Nice use of Nine Inch Nails as well in the soundtrack.
Had the girl from Scary Movie in it. I thought it was a good performance from her. Taking herself seriously for a change.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're good. Like, but Shaun of the Dead, great, you know.
Also out is the new Kristen Stewart torture porn film, The Runaways. Directed by Flora Sigismondi and also starring Dakota Fanning. Tom, you're a fan of graphic novels.
I am, yeah.
You'll be excited to learn that this is not based on one.
Yeah, I wondered where you were going with that, because I know it's not.
Instead, it's based on a real-life rise and fall of a jailbait rock band from the 1970s.
That's what I wanted to ask. Is it, like, really a real thing?
Yes, it's based on a book called Neon Angel by Sherry Curry, and is a testament to why baby girls shouldn't do drugs, even if you are in a rock band.
It's really weird, though. It's got the trailer really freaked me out.
Why?
Because it's Dakota Fanning.
She looks like an alien these days.
But she's always looked like an alien. If you watch the highly awesome TV show by Steven Spielberg called Taken, which is a reimagining of the Roswell crash from then to sort of the modern era, they pick their actors largely by their face shapes that make them look like aliens, and she's in that. But she's all grown up, and she looks super freaky. I couldn't even recognise her from, you know, such films as War of the Worlds.
She used to be one of those child actors who was really talented, and now is just a scary entity in film. Like in Push with Chris Evans.
Uh-huh.
She's wearing all these weird clothes that I would have blogged about, but I couldn't get to the end of it because I was so upset.
She was also the youngest person ever to be invited onto the, I can't remember the name of the committee, but the people that decide who get the Oscars.
There are a lot of people who are involved in that, though.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, though.
No. Tom Cruise got her on because they're such good mates.
Why are they good friends? Oh, because of
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Her little sister, Ellie Fanning, is also a really good actress. She was in a mini-series with Peter Krause called The Lost Room, which was a Sci-Fi Channel miniseries. Really good, really worth checking out. Should have made it into a full-length series.
So we should be focusing on her career, less Dakota Fanning in film.
Well, I don't know. She'd probably grown up and looking weird now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon is also in this film.
Go on.
He's a good actor.
Go on.
Have you heard of him?
No.
He's an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah, like Joaquin Phoenix.
Like a lot of the actors in films that are coming out this week. He's, he played a psychopath in Revolutionary Road.
Oh, yeah.
The Sam Mendes film.
Yeah, that guy.
Based on the novel by Richard Yates.
Yeah.
It's a good book and a good-ish film.
Is that the one that broke up his marriage?
Why do you say that? Just because his wife's in it. Kate Winslet.
Yeah, didn't they break up shortly after it? Because of all the love scenes with DiCaprio.
Wow. You heard it here first.
I don't know, I might be making that up. I thought that's what happened.
We often discuss broken marriages or relationships on this podcast.
Yeah, and your blog.
Last week it was Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon.
Oh yeah, that's sad. Who's it going to be next week, I wonder?
I don't know. But
well, there's always a revolving door list of celebrities breaking up, isn't there?
If your Michael Shannon fetish isn't sated by The Runaways, you can also see him in the Werner Herzog film My Son, What Have Ye Done?, a film inspired by a true crime in which a man experiences mystifying events that lead him to slay his own mother with a sword. I would never think of doing something like that.
That's a really exciting movie. I want to see that.
I want to see that. The last Werner Herzog film, Bad Lieutenant, with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Inspiring.
Yeah, I like that.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have, yeah.
It's very different from last week. You haven't seen anything last week.
I know, but this week we got lucky. You're talking about a load of films I've seen this week.
What did you think of Bad Lieutenant?
I really like it. I think it's really good. I haven't seen the original, the Harvey Keitel one, but neither has Werner Herzog, so there we go. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not an original. It was just the same title.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Have you ever thought of remaking a film based on just a title?
No.
Nothing appeals to you in that sense?
No.
If I had to choose something, I would... choose Singing in the Rain, I think.
Oh, what do you mean, like, say, remaking Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and making it like an action movie about a guy who has a gun that fires meatballs?
or
just a gangster movie.
Yeah, or an avant-garde short.
Yeah.
It stars a lot of other Oscar nominees besides Michael Shannon. Willem Dafoe's in it.
Of course he is.
He's in everything.
Yeah.
Chloe Sevigny's also in that.
Ah, I like her.
She's got an Oscar nominee.
What for?
Oscar nominee. Oscar nomination. I have no idea. Probably
Kids.
Oh, she was pretty hot in Kids.
Yeah, Josh.
You could see parts of her.
Yeah, you could.
I've never seen Jonah Hill's genitals. That's a disappointment.
Really? Do you want to?
I'd like just to know.
Okay. If he has them. I think he probably does.
Where?
Somewhere under some rolls of fat.
Yeah. So, would you be interested in going to see My Son, What Have You Done?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds really good.
You've got to love the title as well.
Yeah, 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 it's nice because it rhymes.
Makes you ask questions about yourself, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think I'd kill my mum with a sword.
No, why would you?
I'd use, why would you kill your mum? I'm kidding, mum. My mum listened to last week's podcast, so she'll probably listen to this one as well.
Your mum listened to last week's podcast?
Yeah, she didn't like it.
Why not?
Because I hadn't seen any of the movies.
Well, you've seen almost all of them. Is that why you've made such an effort?
Yeah, to impress my mum.
Would you like to give a shout-out?
Hi, mum.
There you go. Also occurring on cinema screens this week, Alomar, a family drama from Pedro González Rubio about a father and son venturing out into the open sea. And a restored version of the Fritz Lang masterpiece, Metropolis. Originally released in 1927, Metropolis was cut down from 145 minutes to 115. 80 years later, the cut footage was discovered in a small museum in Buenos Aires. All the footage has been amalgamated and digitally restored and is accompanied by a new recording of the original score so that audiences can enjoy the classic offering as it was originally intended.
That's cool. I've seen that film.
Really? When?
Years ago. Maybe like 10 years ago? Less than that. My dad bought it on DVD, we watched it.
So you saw the 115-minute version?
I don't know which version I've seen. Whichever was the major released DVD.
This is a restored
version of that?
Of that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I probably saw that one. The most expensive silent movie ever made.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
More expensive than D.W. Griffith's Intolerance?
Yes, because it was the most expensive silent movie ever made.
People were killed in Intolerance during the making of it.
I don't think that changed the price.
Really?
Yeah.
Extras were so expendable back then.
How were they killed? What is this movie?
Stuff fell on them.
Oh, really? Accidents?
We call them accidents, but they shouldn't build sets like that and then destroy them on purpose whilst filming and then have the extras underneath the stuff that's falling apart.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
There were no standards back in those days.
No. Not Metropolis is a cool film.
I've never seen Metropolis. It's one of those gaping holes in my history of knowledge.
It's really cool. It's like, I think it was made... When was it made? Oh, 27, yeah, you got that. So, like, Weimar Republic era of Germany. And it's all about, like, dystopian future with the uber elite. Like, there's a lot of visual metaphor. Like, all the really elite live in, like, skyscrapers and the poor working people live in underground caves and stuff like that. And it's about the two worlds meeting as the leader of the elite called Friedersen or something like that, Frieda. His son ends up falling in love with a working girl from the, not a prostitute, but someone from the lower classes. And he becomes a medium between the two, and there's loads of chaos, and there's a robot and stuff.
There's a robot?
Yeah, yeah, called the Machine Man, or the Mad Machine, but it's actually a woman.
Hot. What's the most attractive robot you've ever seen?
God, that's a difficult question, I don't know.
What about the robot from Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines? The Femme robot.
Oh, the TX.
The Fembot.
Fembot, nice reference to Futurama there.
Thank you.
I
have a crush on Bender as well, but he'd have to keep his mouth shut.
Really?
Can't stand him.
He can't close his mouth.
He doesn't have to speak, does he?
Oh, no, that's true.
Well, here we are, Tom. We're at the end of our podcast.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm so sorry.
Already?
Were you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I had loads of fun.
How much fun out of 10?
12.
Out of 6?
Oh, 4.
So you enjoyed this less than Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh.
You gave Scott Pilgrim 4.5.
Well, yeah, but I didn't rate the cinema experience. The experience was pretty bad. There were 4 really annoying people behind us, and they kept kicking our chairs.
Why didn't you smack one of them?
Well, they didn't kick my chair. They were kicking my girlfriend's chair.
You should have...
So I didn't get involved.
You should have Mel Gibson'd one of them.
Yeah, maybe. Well, punched him in the baby.
Join us again next week when you can find out what's hot and what's rotting on the film farm. I leave you with news that... Tom? Any news? Tom? There's no news. We'll see you again next week. Or you'll hear us. Goodbye.